Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Oh my God. So I was teaching yesterday and I made someone cry. I'm not proud of it, but I felt like, really? Like I made somebody cry? Like, let me explain the situation to you because I don't understand what's happening. I mean, when I started in the industry, and not in culinary school, I didn't cry in culinary school. Let me think. No, I didn't cry in culinary school. I cried like day one, like not in school. It was like an orientation. I cried after the orientation because I felt like I wasn't good enough. You know, I felt like, how am I gonna go to school and be good? You know, and that's when my ex said, that's why you're going to school. You know, and he was right. So that time, that was the only time I cried. Like when I went to culinary school, I cried when I started the industry, you know, like getting yelled at, just feeling extreme pressure as a pastry cook, being yelled at every single day. And that's just how it is. That's how I was, at least. I don't know about now. Like, can you still do that? Can you still throw plates on the ground? Can you still yell and be an insane chef? I don't know. Times are changing. But in my first job, I cried like every day. And I probably talked about this, but the pastry chef was pretty intense. She would just mumble, and I could not understand what she was saying. And there's only so many times you can ask a chef, I'm sorry, what did you say? You know, I'm not going to keep repeating myself. Or now I'd be like, I'm sorry, I can't understand what you're saying. Like, please enunciate, you know. But please, like, saying that to a chef when you've just started at a job, I don't know, there was this, like, don't talk back, you know, don't talk back, don't throw your team under the bus. Like, nowadays, like, the things I have experienced as a chef, like, everybody just throws everybody under the bus. Like, there's no, oh, we've got your back kind of thing, you know, no. But anyway, I would cry every day because I didn't understand what she was saying, and she'd always ask me to get something out of the walk-in. And I didn't know what she wanted. I'd be staring in the walk-in and just being like, fuck. Like, what did she say? What did she want? And I think I would just, like, turn red. I don't know. And then she'd open the walk-in and be like, milk or yesterday's dough or, you know, but I couldn't understand it before, you know. And then all of a sudden she'd enunciate and yell at the same time. And I would just, like, cry for 10 seconds, you know, like, I'm like, okay, like, keep it in, it's gonna be okay, you know, and that was the worst. So what happened was, I was teaching, and I have like 8 students, you know, nothing crazy, and I feel like I have a pretty good rapport with them. I will say something pretty, like, light, you know, as far as, this is what we're gonna do, these are the steps, start with this. And when I first started teaching, they were very, like, slow to react, and I'm thinking, okay, like, is something going on? Like, and I said, okay, let's get up and do this, you know. I'd have to, like, make them, give them energy, or I don't know what was going on. I'll tell you what you need to do. If you have questions, please ask. I'd rather you ask me versus doing something wrong, you know, or making something bad or making mistakes. Please ask. But then if you're not doing as I'm asking, like, if I have to ask you to wipe something off the floor that you just spilled, like, 3 times, 4, okay, you know, I will start being like, please, don't ask me to repeat myself. You know, I'm like, you need to do this now. I mean, there's a certain point where I've capped my patience. And I really try to be good with other pastry cooks and students, etc. So I was teaching and we were making phyllo dough. Phyllo dough is the type of dough you need for Apfelstrudel, Apfelstrudel, which is, you know, the real way you say it. It's typically a German dessert, an Austrian dessert, German-speaking country dessert, let's say. And you also need it for baklava, or baklava, as you would say in the Eastern countries. We made this dough. What happens is we don't have enough mixers, so everyone works together, and we make one big batch. And then we work together as a team, you know, but I have them do it and give instruction on the way. Like the way I used to teach in Sedona, when I worked at the community college, I would do a small batch, demonstrate, and then everyone would do their own, you know, which is fine. But this is a smaller school and ingredients are expensive. But the fact that they get to make stuff every day, you know, that's a big deal. You don't always get that in every cooking school. We made the dough and, you know, there's a lot going on. Like I'm constantly, like somebody's weighing the filling because we're making like a cheese strudel, an apple strudel. So someone's weighing out the cheese filling. Someone's peeling the apples and slicing them. So I showed them how to do it. So I'm constantly rotating and walking in circles, basically, making sure everyone's good. And next thing I know, a newer student, I told her, okay, why don't you start paddling the cream cheese? So this cream cheese was a 3-pound bar of cream cheese. It's a commercial block of cream cheese. It's not a small amount, but she put this as is in a KitchenAid stand. You know, like a stand mixer, not a big mixer, which is fine, but you can't just leave it in there in the 3-pound form, like at least cut it up and put it in the bowl. Okay, fine. But I didn't see that as this was happening because I was doing other things. Next thing I know, she walks away, I guess, to throw the packaging in the trash, and the whole bowl falls to the floor because it's a 3-pound block of cream cheese. It's heavy, right? So most of it was leaned toward one side of the bowl. It wasn't perfectly centered in the bowl because it's a big bar, okay? I'm going to keep saying that. So it wasn't balanced. And of course, she walks away and it falls to the floor and the cream cheese falls out of the bowl and just falls on the floor. And I'm like, you know, it takes me a second to really like react. What's going on here? I see that and I'm like, pick up the cream cheese now. Pick up the cream cheese now. You know, like, I mean, and then I say, you have to wash it because we don't have any more. You know, like you can't just throw. I mean, it was an accident. It wasn't intentionally, obviously, but still. Yes, this fell on the floor. No, it's not great to use it. Obviously, you can't use it as is. It fell on the floor, but you can't throw this away. You know, again, this is not a restaurant. This is not being served to people. This is purely a cooking school, okay? This is not a normal thing that I would do. Okay, I wouldn't normally say you need to wash it, okay? When something falls on the floor, you need to throw it away, okay? But in this case, I'm teaching students, I don't have anything else. So you can't be throwing 3-pound blocks of cream cheese on the floor, you know? And does the 12-second rule count? No, technically not, okay? But, I mean, please, you cannot throw this 3-pound of cream cheese block in the trash. So I say, pick it up, you need to wash it. She was just like panicking. She picks up the cream cheese. She throws it in the trash. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Like freaking out. Like I'm freaking out. You know, at this point, this is a new trash bag they're just apple peelings from the apples. Again, not a typical thing that I would do in an actual restaurant hotel environment. Okay. But I say you need to take it out of the trash and you need to wash it. I don't have any more cream cheese, you know, and I guess I said it kind of in an intense way, because first of all, dropping it, okay, that's an accident. Not great, but just wash it. Okay, just wash it. But then she stopped listening to me, right? Next thing I know, I tell her, don't throw it away, wash it. She throws it away. I say, take it out of the trash. I said you need to wash it. Her hands were shaking, like she was shaking. And she washes it, you know, and I say, this is the only cream cheese we have. This is why you need to wash it. This is not a normal thing to wash cream cheese, okay? Next thing I know, she's gone. Like, she washes it, you know, someone dries it, whatever, and she made a mess with the cream cheese. There was some cream cheese on the floor. She stepped in it, like, made a mess. Okay, and I told her, you need to wipe that spot. You need to spot clean it. She didn't do it. Next thing I know, she's gone. Like, she's not there. So I ask other students, I'm like, where did she go? You know, where'd she go? And then someone was like, the bathroom. I'm like, okay. And then I say, you know, was that intense? Like, did I say it in an, like, scary way? And then somebody said, yes, a little. You know, and I'm thinking, am I as bad as the chef was to me? I don't think so. Maybe I was, you know, like, if I think back at in my 20s, you know, why I cried when I was yelled at in a certain way in the walk-in. I mean, is this the same thing? I don't think so. You know, like, I think I was able to withstand a lot more yelling. I think I have thicker skin, you know, but she was gone for like 15 minutes. She comes out, her eyes are like red, you know, her face is blotchy. A clear sign that she was crying. And I pull her aside and I'm like, you know, I'm not here to scare you. Kind of I am, because the industry is freaking crazy, okay? There's crazy chefs out there, and maybe I do need to scare them so that they're ready. But anyway, I said, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to yell at you. You know, I apologize if I raise my voice. But I know accidents happen. I just didn't have any other cream cheese. This is why you had to wash it, okay? And she's like, yeah, totally fine. You know, just saying that she needed to go to the bathroom and not mentioning anything else. I'm like, okay, fine. Like, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But I felt like, oh, man, I made somebody cry, you know? It registered. Maybe I've made somebody cry before, but I didn't realize, like, not in the hotel, as far as I know. But anyway, it was just like, oh. And so we made phyllo dough, and it had to rest because it had to mix for quite a while because gluten has to be created. You use bread flour. Bread flour has a higher gluten percentage in it. And that means that you can get the dough super, super thin. So phyllo dough has to be see-through. You have to be able to see, like, printed paper underneath it. You know, then it's thin enough. And that is very hard to do. And you can't do it by yourself. So as a class, I asked them, you know, I cut it in half, the dough, and I rolled it out a little bit. And then I started kind of shaping it like you would a pizza. And then I asked a student to put their knuckles underneath, opposite me, on the other side of the dough. And then we stretched it a bit, and then another person added on. And then before I knew it was the whole class, and we were all our knuckles were under the dough, kind of stretching the dough and turning it slowly. And it was fun. You know, it was a cool experience to make phyllo dough. It wasn't fully even the way I wanted it to be, you know, but it's hard to get it that thin without tearing. And once it starts getting holes in it, it's very hard to continue, you know. So we got it as thin as we could, and then we filled it with the apple filling, and it baked. It was a huge, like, piece of dough. Like, it was this big roll filled with apples. I baked it, and the oven has some issues. You know, if it says 350, to get it to 350, the oven has to say, like, 420. You know, it's a little off the timer, which is frustrating. So I'm always kind of guessing what's happening with the oven. So things either underbake or they overbake. So this strudel had to bake for about an hour and a half because it was a very large roll. And it ended up tasting so good. I was really happy with how it came out. Anyway, but that was the class. And I just wanted to talk about how I made this person cry. It really, I don't know. I'm like, wow, that happened. But the rest of the class was positive. I've started looking more and more into farmers markets. I visited like four different ones. There's one in Hillcrest, and that is the biggest one. But there's also a really long waiting list. And I've been talking to other vendors, and one of them said it took him a year to get in. And he's not even on the permanent list. And they're attending other farmers markets. That's the thing. Once you start with farmers markets, you see them all the time, the same ones all over. Today, I'm going to get my TFF license, which is like a food handler's license. I think I've talked about this. It just means that I can cook food on premises and sample it. And that's $660 a year annually. Or I have to have everything prepackaged, package everything either at home or at a kitchen. And that's like 300 something. But you can't sample when you do that. So I feel like I just need to spend the 660, and I'm going to do that today. But then today I went to look at products. Like, I need quite a few products, and making the list, you know, I like making lists. It's been stressing me out because I feel like I just need a lot of things. You know, I'm not making a lot of items, like 2 to 3 items to start. I want it to be German themed. I want to do the German donuts, which are the Krullers or the Spritzkringle. I want to do German pretzels, like the soft pretzel, serve it with mustard. And I want to do a cookie just because I'm German and I make good cookies. Nothing to do with Germany, but like I said, even in Germany, you know, they have cookies. So is it a typical German thing? Yeah, they have cookies in Germany. So I want to serve cookies, you know. It's not like the item that you think of when you think German product, but if you go to a bakery in Germany, they sell cookies. Okay, we got that covered. So I went to Restaurant Depot, which is a restaurant supply store, and you just need to show your business license. So I'm like, yeah, I'll just write down notes and compare prices, because I also went to Costco business store, which is a little different than just Costco. So everything's geared towards businesses, you know, and you can pretty much find a lot of what you need, but I wanted to compare prices. But then I'm like, oh, I should just get this, I should just get that. And I started purchasing things because also I have a person that I knew from Arizona, and she wants me to make pastries for her, like in the month of July, like every week. I was like, sure, like I can do that. I saw this 25-pound bag of sugar. So I'm like, well, I need it, so I'm gonna get it. You know, if I buy in bulk, it's cheaper than buying regular. So now I bought some bread flour because I need to start making product to show as testers. You know, I need to bring them to the managers of the farmers market, so to see if they like them, if they want me on board. And then I made a sample for the farmer's market for one of them on Tuesdays. And I had to fry the donuts, but I don't have a fryer. I wasn't teaching that day, you know? So I thought, okay, let me just fry it in a pot at home. And it totally didn't work out. Like, it burned, it fried flat. It just didn't come out right. So now I bought a mini fryer, like a home fryer, just so I can fry for testers, you know? And that's another thing. I have to get this big fryer, just all this equipment and everything that looks large for just a restaurant store. Like, what I mean is, products don't look large when you work in restaurants, but then you take those same items home, like a large sheet tray. You take that home and it's giant. It doesn't even fit in a home oven, you know? But everything in the restaurant industry looks like a normal size because I've worked with it. But when you take that size home, it doesn't fit anywhere and it's crazy, you know? But I need to get these like bigger sizes, and everything is so expensive. I mean, I had to get this Cambro. It was a 26 by 12. Or no, 18 by 26 measurements. And I have to use these that when I make the pretzel, when they're baked, I lay them inside this so I can transport them without them getting messed up. Like, that container was $40. The lid was like 14, you know? So it's $55 just for this one container. I had to get two, you know? Like, these are things I need, but when you look at the cost of everything, like, it scares me. You know, so at this Restaurant Depot, I bought good priced items, but the thing is, I got more of them, right? I got more items, and I didn't go in thinking, oh, I'm going to get just basic things. I went in thinking, I'm going to just write a list and compare prices. No, that did not happen. I started writing lists and comparing prices, and it ended up being, oh, let me just go out and get a cart again, because you can't go in and out. You know, you have to ask to leave because they have to open the door for you. You have to get a cart and bring it in. And it's not just a regular cart. Like, Costco's cart are large. This is an even bigger cart. This is like a shelf on wheels. Okay. So I start filling it up. And that's the thing. This cart is giant. Okay. But these items look small on this cart. And here I am, like, I just came from the gym, I went to body pump, I went swimming after, and now I'm pushing this giant shelf on wheels around. And I filled it with powdered sugar, sugar, bread flour, AB flour. Next thing I know, okay, and I didn't add as I was going through the shelves, I was just thinking, okay, I need these bags, I need these napkins, like, I'm gonna have to get them at some point, you know, why didn't I just start now? Like, that was my thinking, okay? So guess how much I ended up spending? And I had no idea it would be this much. Like, it totally freaked me out. It said $579, okay? And I got 36 items, nothing crazy. The most expensive were the Cambros at 45, you know, but then the bread flour is 18. The sugar is 18. You know, everything is like $18, $20. So yeah, you get to that price point very quickly. And I can't see what he's ringing in. I can't see everything. So I'm like, I'm just trusting him. I hope he's getting this right. You know, I mean, these are huge payments. So then he scanned everything and then they asked for a checker. And the checker comes and he makes sure that everything was rung in correctly. So what happened was, I had two small containers of brown sugar. He put one in as a case. So I'm like, oh my God, thank God it's gonna be less. A case of brown sugar is $33. So like nothing if you look at it in restaurant terms, okay? But in my mind, I'm like, oh, okay. Like minus $33. So it ended up being like 520 something or other. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's fine. Like, it's still 500. And here I am getting worried about this $660 fee when what the hell is 500? Apparently nothing in terms of restaurant money, you know, for things that you have to buy. I mean, this fryer is going to be like $300 minimum. And if you look at commercial fryers, they're like $1,000 to $2,000. Some of them are $3,000, you know? And I was ordering stuff all the time. That's the thing. It was not my money. It was not my money. It was the hotel's money. And it was so easy to spend this money. And now when it's my money, I'm like, crap, crap. You know, and I'm spending it all. I'm not making anything. I haven't made anything except for once a week teaching. I'm trying to breathe and just get it all together. I ordered business cards. And have you heard of this business card? It's called a dot.com, D-O-T.com. And of course, I saw it on Instagram because I fall for these things. You know, whenever I get an ad on Instagram, I'm like, oh yeah, that's awesome. You know, and I I order it more than not. So anyway, this card came across. It's $20. Then if you order two, it's like 10% off. I'm like, oh yeah, I love 10% off. So it's called dot.com. And it's basically your business card through the phone. I know this sounds weird, but I put all my information on this card and it looks like a credit card. And let's say you network, you tap this card onto the back of someone else's phone and all your information comes up that you want to come up. Your business name, phone number, website, you know, everything, which is pretty awesome. Totally convenient because I don't always have business cards on me. And even so, people don't really look at business cards anymore. I feel like they collect them, but then they never look at them again, you know? So I thought, okay, this is a really cool thing to have. And then I did order t-shirts and baseball caps. I think I already said that. And then today I bought ingredients. You know, I'm starting to buy ingredients because I'm starting to get some orders. And then on Friday, the Hotel Del Coronado made me an offer. They actually are paying me more than their price range. Apparently, talking German helped. The executive chef gave me like a few dollars more than the actual limit. The limit is 24, which is like, you know, it's like a third of what I was making if I were to put it down, you know, monthly. Like, but whatever. I can't think of that because it's just different, right? I'm trying to do different things here. I can't compare to what I was doing. He's offering me a couple dollars more, which is super nice. And he made me an offer as I was driving. I drove with my husband to see Odessa in concert. I got these tickets in January. So as we were driving to LA, the chef called me, the pastry chef, and I accepted the offer. So my first day is in a couple days. I thought it would be sooner, but okay, they pushed it back a little bit. And then I told the other hotel that I accepted another position. The chef wasn't very happy about it. And he was upset that HR pushed back my final interview. But at the same time, I'm like, I just want to work, you know? So if somebody can get me started sooner, I'm going to go with them, you know? Because in the end, they're kind of both the same position. I'm looking for part-time. I'm not looking for full-time. And when I have my licenses, when I have all my equipment, I'm going to make more money with the farmers markets, you know? So if I invest all this money and still stay at part-time jobs, it's like I'm losing money. You know, I'm not making my potential. My goal is in 3 weeks to a month to start with my first farmers market, just to get everything that I need, think everything through. I just need to start it so that I just stop freaking out. Like, my mind is weird. It's so weird because I went swimming today and I was thinking, I have no issues with like last minute things regarding adventure, vacation, you know, traveling random places. Like, I could do that all day. But when it comes to having my own business, it just freaks me out. Like, it just freaks me out. And, you know, it's something I've never done before. So when I do new things, I look at the minutiae. I think about the details, right? Like, some people are good at looking at the big picture. I have a hard time with that because I'm always looking at details, and that stresses me out. If I think of my whole list that I need, all these small items that I need to get for my business stand, it's a long list and it freaks me out. You know, so I tell Rodolfo, I just have so many things to get. And he's like, it's no big deal. Just make a list. We'll go through the list and then we'll buy it. In 2 hours, we have everything. And I'm like, what? Like, is it that easy? Is it really that easy? Am I overreacting or is he underreacting? Like, I, so, you know, but then I guess I feel better because I'm like, oh, like, we can just get in 2 hours. Like, I'm like, I guess. You know, and that's the difference. Is that a difference between men and women? I don't know. Do typically women focus on the details? I think more so than men. I'm noticing that, like, living with a man, that I'm focusing more on the details. So yeah, I'm like, well, I guess we can just get in a few hours then. He's like, yeah, just make a list. We'll compare prices. Just go to these different stores and see where we can get the better price. And I feel like everything at these stores are just these big packages, these big containers. It's such a pain to get everything. You know, I got a few things that were $500 and it filled my trunk. I mean, and I don't have a truck, but now I get it. Like, I get, how am I going to bring all this stuff to the farmer's market without a truck? You know, it's like one thing leads to the next. And before you know it, you have a full-fledged business and you have this truck and everything. It's like farmer's market, once you have everything, it seems easier, you know, because then you just use that equipment on different days at different places. But you need to kind of know exactly what to get, you know, because I was looking and I'm looking at fryers and you can't just get an electric fryer. Like, I wish. But if you use electricity, you need a generator. Nobody has generators. They all use propane gas tanks. And that's another thing. If you use propane, then you need to have a fire extinguisher. You need to put tarp down on the floor because if you're using oil, you don't want the floor to get dirty. And then you need to have hot water in a drinking cooler so that you can wash your hands and the health department comes, you know, when they do checks, you need to have clean hands. Obviously have gloves, you know, just like all these details. And that's the part that overwhelms me. I can make stuff all day as far as product goes. If I think about just the minutiae of all these details that you actually need to cook on a stand in a farmer's market, that's what stresses me out. So I guess this is good. I guess this is good to have my husband calm me down. He keeps saying it's not hard, it's not difficult. He's like, you're doing fine, and just keep making lists of what you need, and we'll get it. And I'm like, okay. But if these items cost $500, I mean, I'm scared, you know, because I need the tent, I need tables. You know, I'm not going to go into that, I guess. And the fryer, like, that's the biggest thing. I guess I could fry the donuts in advance at the school, but I just think when they're on site, it's going to be better. Like, I think I will sell more, you know, when people know they're getting it, like, fried right then and there. The pretzels I'll do ahead of time and bake them in the oven at school and then bring them. But I'm a little scared about this oven because it's not baking at a set temperature. So that scares me too. Basically, I'm just letting everything scare me. I don't know. It's just, it's the unknown. Right? Like, that's why I just have to get it going and just do it to have confidence over it. And that's the biggest thing. Like, whenever you start something new, it's a challenge, you know? This is a risk. I keep thinking I was able to save money at my job in Colorado. And now I'm just spending all of it, you know, but I can't see it that way. I'm like, maybe I was able to save it so that I could do this, you know? It's good to have backup money for emergencies or whatever, but this is my new goal. This is my new career and I'm starting it. Like, I just have to do it. And maybe this is why I saved the money without knowing it, you know? So yes, I have a part-time job. I have to work Friday, Saturday, and that's not great, working weekends and holidays again. But I just have to view it as, okay, I need something now. I need something to help me be confident that I'm not just burning money and spending it. So maybe just having a few days a week, being able to work hourly, it's just going to help me be like, okay, like some money's coming in, like something. And then I'll just start at farmers markets and go from there. Obviously, the hotel's not going to like it if I say, oh, I only can work 3 days. You know, I told them I need 2 days off to teach, but then I'm just working all the time. Like, I also need a day for me. So I don't know how everything's going to go yet. I just need a routine and we'll see. I mean, I went to the bank today to get an appointment. Tomorrow, I'm going to open a business account for my business so that come tax time, it's easier to show everything I spend, everything I made. Then I have to get one of those tap things. What are they called? Like, you tap your card on it when you charge other people with their credit card. So I need one of those. And I guess the bank can give me one. It's like $100, which seems to be the same. Like, even through Square, you know, everything costs money. So at this point, I just have to be okay with it. I just have to be okay at spending it because it's going to come back, right? Like, it's going to come back. And if I don't spend it, if I don't try it, I'll never know. My items are good. They taste good. So I think they're going to sell. I really do. Okay, I'll start with that. And then let's wait this week and I'll start my job at the hotel and then see what happens from there. But it's the Hotel Coronado. It's this beautiful old hotel. The last time I was there was in 2014. I went to the beach with my friend and we just had a beach day. And then I used their restroom at the time in 2014. And we had an ice cream because they have like an ice cream bar on property. So I've had to start testing my items. For example, I'm making a parachute dough. And I was thinking, what if I pipe them out in advance? You know, the donuts. And I pipe them onto parchment and then fry them when I get to the farmer's market. But that's not going to work because there's eggs in it and it needs to be kept cool. You know, if I pipe out 100, how can I keep them all cool? You know, the containers are bigger than the actual pans I can fit them in and put them in a cooler. Like, that just doesn't work. So I thought, okay, let me mix the batter and put it into a piping bag and pipe them when I'm there, you know, before it opens. That's a possibility. So I have to just make the batch, a small batch at home, and test it to make sure if I leave it in a bag for a few hours and then pipe it out, will it come out the same when I fry it? You know, maybe. But parachute dough, no matter what you do with it, it's very finicky. So I have to just make sure everything comes out right. And that's why I got a fryer for home, to just test these batches and make sure it comes out right. And I brought a sample yesterday to a farmer's market. I brought pretzels and I brought these donuts. He seemed very happy with it. You know, so he said, as soon as I get my handler's license and just have the receipt, I can start. You know, so he seemed very open to it, which is nice. But I was frustrated because I was making the pretzel dough. Making things at home when you're trying to do restaurant quality is very difficult because the ovens usually suck, like home ovens suck. The one I have only bakes from the bottom, not from the top. So I kept having to switch to broil so it would get some color on top. But then it got too dark. Luckily, I was able to use two to give as samples that weren't so bad. But that's why I miss my oven that I had, the KitchenAid oven I had in New Jersey, because it gave you like restaurant quality, you know, like just a better oven. You just need better equipment. But that's why I need the commercial kitchen, just to do these large quantities and get the stuff going. Kitchens, just regular home kitchens, are so frustrating. It's like the small mixers. I can't start anything with that. You know, and then they overheat. Like, these KitchenAid mixers are like $400, $500. They're not cheap. It shouldn't be overheating like that. So yeah, now I need like this giant mixer. So obviously I have to go to a commercial kitchen. So I'm using the culinary school. So just all these details I have to think about. I think on my last podcast, it was the day before my birthday, and we ended up going to see Craig Robinson, who was super funny. I don't know if you ever saw The American Office, because there's a British one and an American one. He was on it, and I loved him on it, and he did his own stand-up, and he was super funny. I did want him to do less. Like, he brought his own keyboard, and he played songs on the keyboard and had the whole audience join in. There were a lot of 80s and 90s songs. I wanted less audience interaction. I wanted him to just talk more. And I thought, okay, at some point he's going to end with this keyboard and just have him talk and be funny. But it was a constant thing. Like, the whole show was too much audience interaction. So I'm like, okay. Like, it was good, but I just wanted him to just be himself and talk and not the audience singing the whole time. You know, so that was a little frustrating. But my birthday was great. And then 4th of July, because I know I'm talking about all this restaurant stuff, but I feel like there's life as well. You know, I'm working, I'm planning this restaurant stuff, and then we're just trying to do some things, you know, to not always be working all the time, because that's all we're doing is just working and planning things for this farmer's market like I am. But 4th of July happened, and we went downtown to see the fireworks. It was pretty easy getting downtown, and the fireworks show was great. And apparently, it was like the biggest one on the West Coast. But then leaving was the hard part. We left, and so did everybody else, obviously. But the spot we had, some people had tents, and I don't know when they arrived, maybe the night before, because they wanted to have the perfect view. So they stayed all day. And then we found a spot to sit to see the fireworks behind a tent. So Rodolfo picked the spot, and I can't see anything because the tent is in front of me. I'm like, is this a good spot? He's like, yes, fireworks are up. Just look up. I'm like, oh, right. And then before the show, they ended putting the tents together. So it didn't matter. You know, it was a good spot because nobody else thought it was a good spot either, because they weren't thinking, oh, yeah, fireworks are up. Anyway, so the show was fun, and then leaving was a nightmare because all these other thousands of people were leaving too. So at least we didn't drive in. We took an Uber in, and then we took a trolley out. And a trolley is kind of like, I don't know, on the ground subway instead of underground, but it's not very fast. It's super slow. So you'll be on it for like an hour and a half. So it took us an hour and a half to get home. And of course, at first, when you're downtown, you're packed like sardines. And then we also went to the USS Midway. It's a ship carrier, and it was used in the World War and other wars between the US and other countries. Very, very interesting. It's open to the public, and it's now a museum. And it's on the coast of San Diego, like in the port. So we went there as our Explore San Diego day. You know, because we needed to do that. And it was very interesting. Of course, I was super interested by the kitchen. There's a galley. That's what a kitchen is called on a ship, in case you didn't know. But if you go downstairs, it was like the third level down. There's the galley. And this ship had a crew of 4,500 soldiers. So every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, was for 4,500 people. Can you imagine those amounts? Like, a few hundred is a lot, but 4,500. So then I look down at the kitchen. There's about 8 ovens, which looks like a lot, but it's not a lot when you have this many people. And the ceilings are right there. And I got super claustrophobic because can you imagine working in these tight spaces in the kitchen? Like, you know it's going to be hot, you know it's going to be loud, and then you're just in these enclosed spaces and the ceiling is right there, you know? And I'm not a tall person, so can you imagine a tall person like having to bend down? Like, basically, the ceiling is right at the top of the oven, and that's not very high. And then you've got this big, big stand mixer, which was built in like the 40s, which was modern at the time. And now it's a Hobart. But now when I see those, actually the hotel has a mixer this early. It's the same mixer. And it's a giant mixer, and you can switch the types of sizes of bowls, but it still works great. Like, the old Hobarts are amazing, better than any new mixer. You know, they just have special parts, so you have to have someone who knows what they're doing because they're so old, but they work great, and everything's metal. There's no plastic. Like, today, if you look at the mixers, there's plastic, and they're made cheaply. Like, even the gears are plastic, but on the Hobart, everything's metal. So I was, like, super interested in the kitchen area, but it had a weird smell. Like, I just can't imagine working on a ship like that. And they're out there for months, like 6 months. I had enough just from a few hours. And then when you go upstairs on the main deck, they have all these fighter planes and helicopters. They show all these different models. And this carrier held up to 80 different planes. So when it's out on the water, it can hold up to all these planes. The planes are built so that the wings can fold in to save space. They have ammunition on this ship, like underneath, maybe like 4 levels down, 5 levels down. They have all the ammunition. And then as they need it, it automatically comes up through this one, like, elevator type thing. So it was very interesting. Like, I'm not really like a war, you know, fighter plane person, but it was very cool. And then, you know, the movie Top Gun, like, that's set in San Diego. So there are a lot of gimmicky things based on Top Gun. Like, it was a lot of fun to go. And then back to the farmer's market. My official date is July 23rd. So that's next week. I don't know, a week and a half. It's not very far away. I have most everything. Let me see. I've bought so many things. And at this point, I'm just like, I have to get it. That's what's happening. I have to get it. I've got the banner with my logo on it, Sweet Cat. Again, if you go to @SweetCatPastries, that's my Instagram for my business. I'm starting at the Otay Ranch Farmers Market. It starts at 4 p.m. I'm going to have to be there at 2:30 and set up. Rodolfo's going to help me for my first one, and also his Brazilian friends, which are super sweet. They're super supportive. We had a barbecue here because that's what we do, and Brazilians love barbecues. And they came over, and I fried them a couple of my donuts, the German donuts, and they loved them. And they were just super happy to help, you know, so they're going to be there. And they were making fun, saying, I'm going to be the guy with the foam arrow jumping around, saying, you know, Cat's Bakery, come here, best donuts ever, best donuts in the world. Like, we were just joking, and it was super funny. And then I also got a chest freezer, which is small because my house is not very big, right? It's like a townhome, but I have a chest freezer, and I started putting like cookie dough and just butter, like certain things that I don't know where else to put. I have things in all spaces, and I have to figure it out because I have all my baking ingredients in the house, and they're just taking up so much space. I don't even know. Like, it's overwhelming, and I don't know how to organize it. And Rodolfo is saying, I need to take away some of my other things in the kitchen. But I'm like, I need these things in the kitchen. Okay, some of the decorative things I don't need, like the little vintage china cups with saucers. Do I need those? No, but I really like them. So now I have to put away some of the frilly things to make room for the practical things. Like, I know it makes sense, all right? It makes sense, but I don't know. I can't have, like, pretty things or cute things because there's no space for anything. And then I got a bigger fryer. It's $300. I can't keep it at the house, but I found another kitchen. I'm not going to use the kitchen for the culinary school. because there's just too many uncertainties and it's not convenient because it's not super close. I found another kitchen that's closer for these businesses that can work in there. So I'm going to have to start at 4:30 a.m. because I don't know exactly how long I'm going to take. Another business is coming in at 9:15. It's a kitchen with multiple spaces, but you have to book your time. But it's very close to my apartment, so that's where I'm going to start. And I don't need to use the culinary school kitchen, you know? So I'm going to wake up early, do the pretzels and the donuts, come back to the apartment, get my other things, pack the car, and then go to the farmer's market. So that's the plan. And I know I said, oh, I'm just doing 2 to 3 items. I'm doing like 5 items because what if my donuts run out? What if my pretzels run out? I need other filler items, you know, like cookies. I am doing some gluten-free brownies. We'll see how it goes. You know, I can't report yet, but I have some things planned and we'll see what sells. And maybe one market, this will sell, next market, so something else will sell. I don't know yet. And then, you know what? I realized I have 2 KitchenAids, one artisan, which is bigger, and then one small one. Okay, but they don't hold very much. Like even the artisan one, it doesn't hold very much. And my mom had this mixer and she would always complain about the KitchenAids, you know, because she would use mine and she'd complain all the time. So she did research and she got this Bosch mixer. The motor is at the bottom and you put the bowl on and then there's a lid on top so nothing comes out. And it's very powerful because the motor's at the bottom. So you can go very, very fast. And it has all these interchangeable tools, you know, for paddle, for whisk. It even has a blender attachment. Like, it's an all-in-one kitchen. You can even put these other attachments that it grates and shreds and slices. I mean, it's crazy. I haven't even looked at everything that it does. But the reason I started using it is because my mom would always talk about how amazing it was. And obviously, I took it because I'm like, yes, it's a mixer. I'm just going to take it. Like, it's got to be good. And then I finally used it the other day, you know, and I took it just because it was my mom's and because it's a mixer. Obviously, I took it after she passed, in case you didn't know that detail. But I never actually used it. And in Aspen, it was in storage because I didn't have space for it. But I thought, okay, I will use this eventually. And here, it's in the shelf. So I started using it because I needed to make these test batches and just to see how much I can make and store, like in my chest freezer, for the market. But the KitchenAids, like, I can't make big batches. I have to make like multiple small batches and it takes so much time. And then the flour and everything, you know, it was like coming out and it was just getting complicated. So I finally used my mom's mixer and it's Bosch. I think that's German. Just want to put that out there. and I used it and I'm like, oh my God, why didn't I use this sooner? It's amazing. I can fit big batches into it. You wouldn't think, but because the lid's on top, nothing's flying out. It's amazing. I can do 2 half sheet pans for a home batch, which is pretty good. Like, for example, I'm making these strawberry streusel bars for the market. In the KitchenAid, I could do like a half sheet tray before everything starts flying out of the mixer. But in this mixer, I can do a double amount. And it works so great. I was so happy with it. It works so fast. And nothing's flying out the top. And it's very, very powerful because the motor's at the bottom. Like, they figured it out. Yes. So if you get the chance to buy a mixer, don't get a KitchenAid. Get the Bosch mixer, okay? If you want bigger batches. And it's just, like, efficient. Yes, efficiency. Amazing. So work has been going well. I've been obviously at the hotel. And you know what? Being an hourly has its perks. Yes, you make it less money, but you know what? There's no other stress. I'm not stressed at work. I just do what's on the list that someone else made, and I'm not stressed. Like, for the first time, working in a hotel or a kitchen, I'm not stressed because I'm not the chef. And it's amazing. I go on breaks because it's union. I have to go on breaks. I can't work over 8 hours, you know, unless they ask me to for overtime. And on my break, I walk to the beach. So they've been asking me to make, I made this Victorian wedding cake. I made this football cake, which actually came out really nice. The chef talked about this football cake like a few weeks prior. And in my head, I'm thinking, nope, not going to make it. I don't want to make it. I don't want to make a football cake. And he asked me to come in for an extra shift because I haven't been getting that many shifts because it's kind of slow. So he asked me to come in for a cake. So I'm like, yeah, I'll come in, of course. Then he's like, can you build the football cake? I'm like, okay, sure, I'll build it, you know. And then he's like, okay, do the next step, put ganache around it, and then do the next step, put fondant around it. And I'm like, what? I'm actually going to make this football cake? You know, so never say never, because you'll probably have to end up making it. But what I didn't realize, it actually became a lot of fun. And it looked a lot like a football. And someone else there had a texture mat, so to make it look like pigskin. And then I put all the finishing touches on it with fondant. And I painted on the Wilson like name on the football, and it looked really, really good. I was very happy with it. So my point is, never say never. You know what's weird is, so this is political. People aren't really talking about it in this area that much. I guess people that have lived here for a while know about it, but there's very like discreet signs, and it says don't go into the water. Some beaches are worse than others, but apparently in Tijuana, Mexico, there's the sewer plant and there's a hole in this sewer pipe. I don't know the details exactly, but there's a hole and it's leaking sewer and the current brings it up to Southern California. And now it's at a point where the whole beach along Southern California has sewer and just very high particles of contamination. So basically, if you're going into the ocean, it's like you're swimming in sewer water, and the risk is very high to get infections. So I'm like, wow, you know. And before the 4th of July weekend, there was this yellow sign and it said, do not get in the water. And I was looking more into this, and apparently this is every year, especially in the summer, it's worse. Obviously, it's hotter. The bacteria multiplies faster. And it's a thing. You're not supposed to get in the water. I'm like, oh, well, I've already done that like a few times. But the sign wasn't up. And they removed the sign for the 4th of July weekend, which is very suspicious. And like, what? Why? You know, because Coronado is a very rich area. So I think they removed it to appear like it's a nicer beach. I don't know. But the signs are kind of not that obvious, and people are still running around in the water and everything. I mean, I was too, even though this sign wasn't up at that point. And what I didn't say was that the signs came back after 4th of July weekend, so super suspicious. But now I have trouble. I'm like, well, I can't go in the water. Like, what the hell? And it's super sad, and it's like political, because yes, it's Mexico, and they're never going to have the money to fix it. So, but it's ruining the waters here. Like, can't the U.S. help out? I mean, whatever happens in one country affects the other country, too. You know? So in the end, it's ridiculous. And it's gotten to the point where it's from L.A. down to San Diego, to Mexico, that the oceans are messed up. And it's super sad. And just frustrating, you know, that every year this is a thing. So now I'm just in the water with poop, apparently. You know, the thing is, though, it's deceptive because it doesn't smell. You don't see it. So people are still going into the water. You know, they're like, oh, I'll be fine. But people have gotten infections. I mean, what if you get pink eye from the water? Is that possible? Like, if there's certain bacteria in there? Like, I guess so. Anyway, so that's like another thing. And then I went in Costco the other day. Again, like, I feel like that's all I do is shop. And Costco, I have a love-hate relationship now with Costco, because I'm like, oh, I need it for one thing, okay? But then you see everyone outside of Costco, like it's a struggle to get there, first of all, because everybody's in line. Everybody wants a spot. Everybody wants to park up close because these carts are freaking heavy. And everything that you buy is like big, right? So you want to park close. But there was nowhere to park. And I'm like, screw this. You know, so I parked kind of far away and then walked there. And then I wanted like two items. I ended up getting like, I don't know, 10. And it cost like stupid amount. It was like $400. And I'm like, why? Why did I do this? But I swear, there was no like one item that was more than $20. Like, how did this happen? Number one, how did this happen? Right? And then I get and I pay everything. You know, and I get like normal food things. Yes, I got some frozen shrimp. I got like a couple of meat things, you know, and they were crazy. It was like 18 per. I got fresh nectarines. I got some like water. I mean, I don't understand. That's the thing. Costco is so deceptive, you know? And the thing is, everything inside Costco is supersize. So when you leave Costco, all of a sudden, everything is giant, you know? But inside Costco, you're like, oh, it's all normal size. It's fine. But then when you leave, you're screwed, right? Because nothing fits in your car. You have to put everything like in the back seat and the trunk. Like there's no space. So... anyway, and then even worse, when you get home, you have to find space for it, right? Like when you're in Costco, you can't get an individual gallon milk. It's connected. You have to get 2 gallons. So I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll get 2 gallons because it's only $8. But then in my fridge, I'm like, oh, crap. What did I do? Why did I do this? You know, freaking Costco. Like, damn. Next week is the farmer's market. It's happening. And then in 2 days, actually, wait, no, tomorrow, Rodolfo and I are flying to Arizona. I want him to meet my dad. He hasn't met my family. So we're flying to Phoenix and then he's going to meet my dad. We're going to go to the Grand Canyon. We're just there a few days and then we're flying back. And then I have to work the next day. And then the day after that is farmer's market. So I'm trying to get everything in line. I'm already not getting enough sleep because I'm waking up 4 a.m. because usually I'm at work at 6. So my life now starts at 4 a.m. I'm like, how did this happen? What's going on? So yes, there's so much going on all the time. I'm actually forgetting the things that I'm talking about. And then the day before Tuesday, I'm like, oh, my podcast, I need to work on that, you know? I don't even know how I'm doing all of this. But I hope it's worth it. Like, I hope you're enjoying listening at least to my frustrations and aches and pains and worries. It's coming together, I think. I hope. Fingers crossed. Pray for me. And if you're in the San Diego area, please come and see me on July 23rd at the Otay Ranch Farmers Market at 4 p.m. I will be there. And then I'll report on that on my next podcast. Thank you for listening. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.